birders are flocking. Yes, yes, they are, to Sauk City and Prairie du Sac today and tomorrow for the 31st Bird Eagle Watching Days. There are a number of Bald Eagle Watch events coming up on the calendar over the next few months, and we're talking about them on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Is there an Eagle Watch event that you love to go to? What is it about bald eagles that makes them so special in your eyes? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Join us with your story and your questions. Jeb Barzin is an ecologist at Private Lands Conservation, LLC. That's based in Spring Green. He's also a board member of the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council, and that's one of the groups hosting Bald Eagle Watching Days in Sauk Prairie area today and tomorrow. Jeb, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you, Kate. It's wonderful to be here. I have some great coffee with me, and I hope you and your listeners do as well.
Very good. Well, bald eagles have experienced quite a comeback here in Wisconsin, and last year was a record year for eagle numbers in the state, according to the DNR. So how big of a deal is this?
It's a real big deal. You know, it tells us that we can have an influence on the world around us if we choose to, and bald eagles are a great wildlife success story through which the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and the have been very involved in. You know, they've been monitoring bald eagles nesting in the state for 45 years, and 45 years ago, in 1973, they estimated that there were 108 occupied nesting territories of eagles in the entire state of Wisconsin. But last year, last summer, they estimated 1,695 occupied eagle nesting territories. So that's a tremendous recovery. Yeah, it's just amazing. And those numbers continue to go up, and they don't really show any signs of leveling off yet. So we don't know just where that population can get to overall in the state.
What do we know about why the 1970s were so touch and go for eagles, getting on the endangered species list and really being very threatened?
Well, some of the reasons probably why they were threatened is the eagles were harassed, and they were also, they were shot as predators. But probably the most important thing was that they were their reproduction was very much hampered by organochlorines such as DDT that were in our environment and were really inhibiting their ability to lay good quality eggs. And so their reproduction was really curtailed, and that really caused the populations of eagles and other birds of prey that we call raptors to decline precipitously. We, through laws, we banned DDT, and we got a lot smarter about the substances that we put out in our environment, and eagles were able to recover. But through other actions of the Endangered Species Act, we also were kind of a kinder and gentler nation to eagles as well, began to understand that they weren't just evil predators to shoot, that they were something to really appreciate.
Jeb, are we seeing similar comeback stories in other states as well?
Yes, eagles throughout the lower 48 states are rebounding throughout. In some states, the rebound isn't as quick or as large as it is in Wisconsin. And that's probably because in Wisconsin, we've been able to maintain what eagles would consider higher quality habitat than, say, states further south that have more intensive agricultural systems and so on in place.
Talking with Jeb Barzin, he is an ecologist and a board member with the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council. That council very involved in Bald Eagle Watching Days in the Sauk Prairie area. You can join in with your questions, your story about eagles. Where do you like to go and watch them? 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jeb, so with Bald Eagle Watching Days, that's an annual event taking place today and tomorrow in the Sauk Prairie area. Can you tell us a little bit about this event?
Yeah, it's a way of celebrating this wonderful recovery of eagles. it's a way of the community showing that it cares. The Sauk Prairie community, which is Prairie du Sac and Sauk City, really do a lot, working with the DNR and Fairy Bluff Eagle Council to really put this on. And not just put it on in terms of getting people to come, but they support it financially. They support it with volunteer activities. And, you know, what's really interesting and what I'm kind of proud of our community, because I live in that community as well, is that it's a community that has done a lot to share and really take conservation to heart. And so it's not just for Eagle Days that the community is involved with eagles, but it participates in helping to protect eagles. There's rules or that exist within each of the town boards that surround the Sauk Prairie area and for the village of Sauk City and the village of Prairie du Sac that actually have the protection and conservation of eagles in their town board rules. Businesses get involved, and they've helped us protect eagle habitat. We work with the community to close trails at times when eagles are concentrating, like during the winter, and so that we better protect areas that eagles like to feed and that sort of thing. So there's a real active engagement by the community, and I think Bald Eagle Watching Days is just an example of that, where we try to bring people to our community and say, hey, this is a great resource, and it's in our backyard, and we're proud to maintain it.
Let's bring in Matt now in the Lisbon area. Matt, what is your story?
Well, it was right around Christmas, and so for 3 days in a row, we noticed that there was a bald eagle sitting in our tree in our front yard. And so he sat there for about 3 days, or about half an hour, 3 days in a row, and we watched him, and then suddenly he would just kind of hop off and fly away. So it's nothing real exciting to tell you, but I just thought I would pass that along. I thought it was very unusual to see a bald eagle in my area.
And so close to your home and right there in your yard.
Yeah, I mean, the trees, they're pretty good-sized trees. They're like maybe 60 feet tall. So they're good-sized trees, but, I mean, I live in a residential area, so there's homes all around, activity, cars, and, like I say, all kinds of activities. So I thought that was, you know, unusual, and so that's why I called.
Well, Jeb, what about eagles, seeing them in these very dense residential areas?
Well, eagles are long-lived birds, and they're actually fairly smart. And so they are very good at beginning to adjust to environments that we would consider in the past unfamiliar to them. And as the population grows, we see eagles becoming more and more habituated to some kinds of human activities. And so it wouldn't surprise me that an eagle showing up several days in a row at roughly the same time and in exactly the same place might suggest that there was some food that was nearby. You know, perhaps Matt had some agricultural fields that weren't in the residential area, but were close enough by that a bird could sit in the tree, examine that field until it felt comfortable, and then go down and feed on a deer that had been hit by a car and made it out into the agricultural field and then died. And so they can, as long as they're not threatened or disturbed, they can habituate to fairly close proximities of people, and that's, you know, it's a part of that success story, that if we give them a chance that we can share the same habitats a bit better. And you can often see that in the Sauk Prairie community. You know, some of the businesses have eagles that are perched on the riverside of their businesses, but you can see them right outside the windows of those businesses if they're not harassed by people.
And our vehicles, our cars, actually make very good blinds, if you will, to view eagles.
Exactly right. A blind is a good way to describe it, because eagles don't perceive people as being associated with vehicles. They just I don't know what they see, but they probably just see this kind of big thing that moves around, and these big things don't tend to stop and threaten them, so they habituate to them, whereas it's a little bit harder to habituate to a human being presence outside of a car. So when we're encouraging viewing for egos, we encourage people to stay in their cars as much as possible because that lowers the disturbance that the birds face. And disturbance is a hard thing to measure with eagles because many people will get out of their car and they'll say, well, the eagle didn't fly away. And that's probably true that the eagle might not fly away immediately. But what the eagle will often do is stay there for a minute or two and then fly away, but importantly, not return to the perch after it did a foraging flight or something like that. Whereas if you stay in the car, the bird will continually come back, like Matt had described, you know, to that same perch. And so there is a disturbance that occurs, but it's a much more subtle thing that people aren't necessarily paying attention to when they believe that their presence outside of a blind like a car is not threatening.
We're talking with Jeb Barzin. He's an ecologist and a board member with the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council. He's giving us a preview of Bald Eagle Watching Days in Sauk City and Prairie du Sac that get underway today. And a shout out to Eagle Days along the Fox River planned for January 26th at various locations along the Fox River. There is also Bald Eagle Appreciation Days February 22nd and 23rd in Prairie du Chien. And let's round this out with Eagle Watching Day, March 2nd in Ferryville. What is your favorite place to view eagles? Tell us about it at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about bald eagles and their comeback in Wisconsin? How do you make your backyard a better habitat? Call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll get back to the conversation, maybe hear from you on the Ideas Network. You're with us for Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The DNR has some important tips on observing bald eagles. Do not venture so close that you cause them to fly off. They need their energy to keep warm through the long winter nights. Stay in your car unless you're at a staffed viewing site. Your car makes a good blind and does not frighten eagles. Talking with ecologist Jeb Barzin. He stays with us as we talk about the Sauk Prairie Area Watch events getting underway today. He's a board member with the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council. Let's bring in Tommy now, joining us from Ashland. Hi, Tommy. What's your story?
Well, once this guy told me, I don't know who he was, but he worked at this place somewhere. I don't remember. It was kind of, well, it doesn't really matter. And anyway, he showed me this picture of this bald eagle that had its wingspan about as big as a dirt road. Not the whole dirt road, like, road down. It was, like, from the side to the other side, that big.
Huge wingspan. Yeah.
It was, like, 15 feet big.
Have you seen a bald eagle in person, Tommy?
Yes, I have seen a few, but I might have seen a feather, but I couldn't tell if it was one or not. It was just on the beach with another feather, so it's hard to tell if it wasn't or not.
But you keep your eyes watching the skies and looking up in trees. What do you like about bald eagles?
I do like dinosaurs, and Velociraptor has raptor in them, and they're meat eaters, so also things on, they also remind me of dinosaurs, so that's what I kind of like about them.
They're so cool. Tommy, thank you so much for calling in.
Bye.
Bye. Jeb, what about those raptors? They've got big wingspans. They remind us of our dinosaurs, those ancestors.
Well, birds are our closest living relative of the dinosaurs, so they very much are the new and improved dinosaur, and they've taken feathers to a whole new level compared to what were on the dinosaurs, and they, you know, that's a primary adaptation that they have for being able to fly. And those big wings that Tommy is very well describing are what eagles use to soar so that they can fly without flapping their wings when they find updrafts, and that's an important characteristic that allows these birds to move really large distances and without too much trouble, without too much expenditure of energy, because they've learned how to harness energy that's coming from the earth and use it to fly on their own. It's really pretty spectacular. You know, we have young birds that can hatch from Arizona in June, or fledge, excuse me, from Arizona in June, and be found next to the Arctic Ocean in Nunavut in northern Canada 3 months later.
So if there's one thing we could do in our own lives to improve habitat, to improve quality of life for eagles, what would it be?
Well, in our own lives, I think it would be to certainly be respectful of the animals and really work to not harass them when you see them, because basically if you're moving animals from where they want to be, there's a cost to that. But I think it's also by, you know, realizing that as communities you can do things as a group to protect habitat, to try to find ways of addressing conflicts that occur when eagles and humans share the same habitat. You know, it's often difficult to do by yourself, but as a group you can do quite a bit. So as I mentioned, our local communities actually have eagles as a part of many of the rules that they have regarding land use and or human activity. And that conscientious look at the resources that people value is a really important way of protecting habitat and can work for on a long-term basis.
And really quickly, as we wrap up here, we're going to be able to go to VFW Park in Prairie du Sac and actually see eagles up close?
Marge Gibson of Raptor Education Group is going to do an eagle release at 1 o'clock. And there are Birds of Prey shows at the River Arts Center, which is attached to our high school, both in the morning and in the afternoon. And they will have eagles that cannot be released, but they are used for education. So people have at least three different ways of seeing eagles up close and live, as well as, you know, we'll have eagles in the wild that are outside.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Jeb Barzin is an ecologist at Private Lands Conservation. He's also a board member of the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council, one of the groups hosting Bald Eagle Watching Days in the Sauk Prairie area today and tomorrow. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here is producer Steve Gotcher with a story about musician Joni Mitchell's time in Madison.
This story brings together a midwinter ice storm, the southeast shore of Lake Mendota in Madison, ice skating, and a series of photographs that became a record album cover. Dean Robbins takes us back in time to a cold February photo session on the bleak frozen lake.
I remember the 1970s as a time of journeys. College kids like me were forever on the road to discovery, whether hitchhiking or exploring our inner selves. That's why we idolized Joni Mitchell.
I'm traveling in some vehicle. I'm sitting in some cafe.
Like us, this eccentric singer-songwriter was on a quest. We followed her progress from the open-hearted folky of Chelsea Morning to the jaded romantic of Blue to the brash pop star of Help Me. In 1976, Mitchell's wanderlust brought her to Madison in a spontaneous photo shoot on Lake Mendota. Months later, the photographs appeared on an album jacket, encapsulating both Joni's career and the self-analytical post-hippie era she ruled over. Mitchell came to Madison for a February concert at the Dane County Coliseum in the midst of an ice storm. She'd just broken up with her longtime boyfriend and called off the rest of her troubled tour, so her emotional state was melancholy in the extreme. Gazing at frozen Lake Mendota from the Edgewater Hotel, she felt the call of the glassy white void. She could hear tree branches cracking under the weight of the ice, a sound reminiscent of tinkling glass. Mitchell went into town to buy a pair of skates, choosing men's black to match her mournfulness. She donned a long black skirt and a black ermine cape and leaped onto the ice. The surface was dangerously spongy. Freezing cold water splashed onto Joni's face, leaving welts. But she felt compelled to go through with her mad plan. Her photographer followed along to record the strange scene. Mitchell was surprised to find that her cape acted as a sort of sail. She spread her arms and let the wind carry her, looking like a crow in flight. The photographs captured a mystical moment, an artist on an unearthly journey, destination unknown and arrival uncertain. Joni liked the photos so much that she used them for black and white montages on her album Hegira. The title is an Arabic word meaning journey, and the wintry images fit perfectly with the musical message. Chilled by jazz rock guitar, the songs are less melodies than moods. They're less pop than poetry. In Coyote, Amelia, and other meandering masterpieces, Mitchell evokes the restlessness of the road, mirroring the restlessness of her soul. Jaco Pastorius' prodding bass seems like a stand-in for the psychic obsession she can't let go of. Rolling Stone picked Hegira's cover as one of the best ever. But for a Madison resident, it has special meaning. It shows us that frozen Lake Mendota is not just a place for casual recreational activities. It can also be something far more mysterious, an expanse of endless possibility.
You still have your music.
Dean Robbins is a journalist and author based in Madison. He's won state and national awards for arts, features, and news stories, and has contributed to magazines and newspapers around the country. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Steve Gotcher.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent, here with us for Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.